with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's going to be day one of two straight that's going to be nothing but college football. We have our college football preview tomorrow where we make all of our picks. We'll discuss right here off the top of what we're picking, because here's why. We want to see what you guys think is going to happen as well. So once we get the format down of what all we'll be talking about and making predictions on, you guys can then think about it, talk amongst yourselves, make your predictions, and text them in to 225-9698. That is the phone or text line. Today, a couple of different topics in college football. One, the AP poll was released yesterday. To me, that signifies we're close. College football is almost back when the AP poll comes out. Some interesting nuggets from that. ESPN's got them another list up. This time it's talking about coaches. So we'll talk about some of the coaches around the country. And then the top five most likely, and I hope this doesn't foreshadow too much of what maybe goes on tomorrow with some of these picks, but top five most likely teams to make their first playoff appearance this season. Not like the next one to make it for the first time, but this season. What are the top five most likely teams to make it to their first playoff appearance? So that's what the topics are today. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is that phone or text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things in college football. Whatever else might be on your mind, maybe we can fit it in as well at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area one of these days and you want to stay in touch with the show live, a couple ways to do it. It's pretty easy. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app's got it all. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight at thepennynews.com. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. What are we, got 10 days, 11 days, 10 days away from a Big Elk football, Hollis Tiger football for the first time on Paragon TV as well. So that's going to be coming up on August 26th. Both those teams have home games, Elk City and Altus, Hollis and Wilson, and then Merritt gets started the week after that against Hinton. So Friday Night Lights are coming back with scrimmages all over the state of Oklahoma on Friday. Then some real games, some scrimmages next Friday on that 26th. So you can find that on the Paragon app. Also, if you miss our show entirely, a couple ways to go back, a couple places to go back and listen to the podcast, KADSAM.com or iTunes. Hello, Jared.
Good morning.
Man, it feels like this is going to be a weird weather day. 102, and then the front blows through. Hopefully everybody gets some rain, and then tomorrow will be, I don't think you're going to need your jacket.
No.
Or maybe you will, highs in the 80s.
I always need my jacket in here. It's cold.
It is pretty cold today.
I always, when you come in here and you touch the countertop and it's very cold to the touch, yeah.
It's a little cool. It's a little cool today.
But that's how I know it's hot outside, is when it's cool in here today. Or when it's going to be hot.
You normally can't get it too cold for me, but it's almost there today.
In here?
Yeah, in here.
Yeah.
It's pretty steamy.
Yeah. Some people like their offices really, really cold to the point they like little heaters under their desk and little nice light jackets on, especially in the middle of August. Not so much me. I don't like the cold. Never been a big fan. But I do like these temperatures that we're supposed to be getting, because you know what that tells me?
Fall.
Fall. Football.
Fall is my favorite season. The only problem is you don't get one very often in Oklahoma.
That's usually summer straight to winter.
Yeah, a lot of times. You get like a week of perfect fall weather, if you're lucky. And then It'll go from 90 to 40, and you're like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. What happened to the 70s?
Bring that back. What's going on?
Where are those 70s at?
Yeah.
You know, because it's similar a lot of times in spring going to summer. There's not a long spring sometimes, you know. But here's the difference. You know what spring has that fall doesn't?
What's that?
Wind.
Oh, yeah.
Because normally it takes the south winds kicking way up in spring to get the warm temperatures to come.
Right.
That's not the case in fall. A lot of times the wind is negligible. And, of course, I'm thinking about this in golf terms because the golf courses are fully grown. You know, they're grown in from the summer. And it's just gorgeous days if you can get them. But anyhow, yeah, fall, it's right around the corner.
It is right around the corner. That's all right.
You know, after today, just looking at my phone, now this could obviously be subject to change, but for the first time in a while, when I look at what would be the 10-day forecast, after today, there is not a day of 100-degree weather on my phone and just a couple of 90s.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Nice break there.
Very, very nice. North wind already hit. You know what? I'm looking outside, and it does look like the wind has hit. Just over the top of your head, I can see the trees across the street fluttering. I just can't quite see. They look almost neutral as far as which way they're blowing. But, yeah, it's coming. I may get lucky and not have a 100-degree day. What do you think about the AP poll? Anything stand out to you just right off the bat?
Maybe the disparity between the coaches poll and the AP poll in regards to Texas. When Texas is in there at 18 in the coaches with a one vote, and then you get to the AP and they're not even ranked.
Yeah, they would be 27th. Tennessee is the only team outside the top 25 that got more others receiving votes than Texas. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I wonder how much that first place vote propped them up in the coaches. You know, if you take that down to just like a 22nd, how far does that drop them down, you know, with the points and where they would have ended up?
Right.
Is that one first place vote the thing that's keeping them ranked? I don't think that's true. I think they wouldn't have fell all the way out. But, what's amazing to me is outside of that, they're pretty mirror images. You know what I'm, you know, a lot of times it feels like you have one or two teams that the coaches love way more than the AP or vice versa. Outside of Texas, you know, the Arkansas is a four place difference. You know, BYU's in the top 25 in the AP. They would be like 28th or 9th in the coaches. So there's not more than like a four or five place spread on anybody else outside of them. I thought that was interesting. Alabama is number one. 9th time in school history. Think about this. They've been number one in the AP poll 7 times under Nick Saban, which means before he got there, the Alabama Crimson Tide only number one twice in the preseason AP poll. That was kind of a shocking number to me, considering all the success they've had throughout the history of college football.
There was Alabama before Nick Saban. People tend to forget that sometimes. But, yeah, that's a little shocking.
Here's one for you. This is the 15th straight season that Alabama has been number one in the AP poll at some point. That has to be a record.
Absolutely.
And it's never going to be broken. And I heard the guys on the morning show in here talking a little bit about this. How is he doing it? Because the perception of Nick Saban around the country, and I think to a lot of degree it's warranted, is that Nick Saban is the crusty old man that, you know, is more of a disciplinarian than most would prefer in this day and age. So how is Nick Saban doing this with kids that are supposedly completely against everything that he stands for?
It's easy. He's winning.
That's what I said.
That trumps everything at times, is when you want to attach somebody to a winner. And I think it's just until that trend is broken, and I don't think it will be until Saban actually retires and leaves Alabama. And I say that very grudgingly because who knows who they go and get, and then they continue to keep it rolling. But, yeah, everybody wants to be a part of a winner. When you see you know, when a kid is highly recruited and he's getting all these offers, and all of a sudden he goes to the mailbox, opens it up, and there's that Alabama return address on an envelope, I'm sure they're like, okay, that one's going to the very top of the pile. Why? Because Alabama wins. They win at a high level, and they put people in the league.
Yeah, text line immediately said money. See, I don't buy that argument, because with all this NIL stuff flying around, who is the one guy that's been against, especially paying recruits? I mean, for God's sake, there was a giant kerfuffle this offseason of Saban accusing one of his former coaches of doing just that and cheating. Now, I understand the argument, and I could probably buy it just a little bit, that some of the tactics that may have gone on were under the table, and now it's out in the open. And so maybe that's a little bit of a nuisance, especially if you had that underground network flowing seamlessly and undetectable. I get it. Now it's just above board, I guess. But I think it's way more than that. Because here's what I think. You know, one of the big things, and it happened again last night, was, oh, I see money in the league. Now, that I'll buy that argument.
Oh, sure.
Instead of getting paid, you know,
facilities
before.
And, you know, yeah, that helps.
Yeah, well, I think you said it. Getting people to the league. They've done it as well as anybody.
I'm sorry. I heard league. NFL. I thought SEC conference.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, the NFL. And that makes perfect sense.
Well, facilities do help, too. You go to Alabama, sure they you know.
Sure they do.
It all starts, though, with winning.
I think it starts with winning. And I also think, you know, last night I saw a report or a meme that or a tweet, I guess, that supposedly Malachi Nelson, the guy that was recruited here at OU, he was committed to OU under Riley. He then decommitted and went committed back to Riley at USC. Now he's been flirting with Texas A&M. Actually took a visit there. I saw a report that he's going to commit to A&M, and he's going to make $15 million. Okay.
In 3 years, not an annual
thing. But I'm just saying, $15 million.
Yeah.
You know who would never recruit that guy, no matter how talented he was?
One Nick Saban.
Nick Saban. And so I think there is some secret sauce there to where he is – listen, he can get about anybody he wants to. He's proven that. He's on a recruiting streak that has never been seen. If you go by the rankings, and obviously if you go by the results on the field. But I also think he's not just offering every guy that's at the top of that list. They're doing some due diligence to make sure that to do as much as they can to make sure that they get guys on that campus that will buy into what they're selling. And I don't think guys like that, those guys that just you hear immediately hop out into the NIL game, guess who doesn't offer them? They don't see an offer from a lot of times. Or if you do, then that happens, then all of a sudden, whoop, it's pulled back a little bit, because he is on record as saying, I don't agree with this until they get on campus and start doing something. NIL is fine, but it needs to be for what you've done in college, supposedly can do coming out of high school. We just saw it yesterday at LSU with Miles Brennan.
Yeah,
we've seen it with Quinn Ewers. You know what? He's not even hasn't even secured the job yet at Texas, and he's already made $1 million going to Ohio State. Spencer Rattler was right here in our own backyard with all the things that happened there. So I think part of his secret to success is that he's won so much that he's able to do that. I don't know how many other coaches can do that, but he's been able to do it.
Yep.
And those the players that are coming out of high school and then playing for him, they have bought into what he's selling.
Do you think another part of it is, I know for me it would be, if I'm the father of a recruit, that, man, I want my guy, my son, to play for that guy, for that man, for that coach. So parents are more willing. You know, I mean, and again, that's easy to say when it's the University of Alabama and they're winning. But let's imagine if Nick Saban, let's go back to his Michigan State days. You know what I mean? You know, it's a character thing. You know, look at that. He's a hard-nosed guy. Take no excuse. Turns you into a better football player and a better man.
Yeah. And so,
do you think that helps the recruiting?
Oh, sure. For some. No doubt about that. And See, I would have agreed 100% with this with the text I just got about a decade ago. And he said he's upset because it levels the playing field. I felt that way too coming off the Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma in that season after they lost to Auburn with the kick six and some different things through that time. Johnny Football was in there at some point beating him, where he was really railing against the pace of play and how fast offenses were going and how it was unfair to him. But you know what? To his credit, and I think this is something that he doesn't get near enough credit for, he has been so adaptable since he's decided to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
I think he fought it tooth and nail from about 2013 to 2015, and finally he figured out, you know what? It's not changing. I've got to adapt to what's happening around me. And guess what? He did, and that's when, you know, Alabama was hard to beat from 2008 to 2012. They won, what, three national titles in that span. But you know when they really became hard to beat? When they adapted offensively to what was happening.
When they modernized their offense.
Yes, and then it was like, holy crap.
By the way.
Still doing it.
Still doing it, and if you notice, too, more Heisman candidates and winners for Alabama.
They never had one.
Exactly.
They never had one until he got there.
So that only helps. That's only fuel on the fire.
Absolutely.
Come here and win trophies.
Absolutely. And he doesn't get enough credit for adapting to what was around him, because for a long time, that was a sticking point against him. I 100% agree with Dylan. I can remember how crusty and mad he seemed. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, he said, you know what? Lane Kiffin? Really? This is the guy? Yep, I guess it's the guy. Come on down, you know. And from then, Sarkisian was another guy there, obviously. And once he embraced not necessarily that style, but just that idea of offensive football, that's when they became even more of a juggernaut than they were at first. So, once again, Alabama number one, 15 straight year. They've been number one at some point in the season in the AP poll. That's a record that will never, ever be broken. And it's also a record that's liable to get a couple more years tacked onto it before that streak would end. Other streaks. Do you know who has the longest streak of being in the AP top 25 preseason poll? How many years in a row that this team has been ranked in that poll? Do you know who has the longest streak in the country?
I would guess the safest answer would be Ohio State.
Ohio State is the safest answer, and it is the correct answer. 34 straight years that the Buckeyes have been inside the top 25. Number two?
Now some of these, I'm going down the list here. And I can remember times that they would not be in there. So this is a harder answer. I don't want to say Notre Dame.
It's not Notre Dame.
It's not Notre Dame. It's not Miami. There's times there's a lull. I mean, Oklahoma.
That's it. You're thinking too hard, Jared.
I know.
You're thinking too hard.
Going back their preseason in 99, I don't think they were ranked.
No, starting in 2000.
2000, they were blah, 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 19th
or something like that. 23rd straight year. So since 2000, this is the 23rd straight poll that OU has been inside the top 25. Number three.
Inside the top 25, number three. Let's go with Oregon.
Georgia.
Georgia,
21 straight times inside the top 25. This is actually the fifth top three start for the Georgia Bulldogs in their history. In the previous four.
It's a record for them, right?
Previous four, they ended up outside the top three. Each and every time they've been inside the top three to start, they finished outside the top three to finish. Alabama was fourth with 15 straight. LSU, not found in the top 25 to start the season. First time since 2000 that has happened. So no Texas, no LSU, no Florida, no Florida State. I'm sure there's somebody out there that will do the research to find out how far you got to go back with all of those teams not being there. I'm sure it's a ways. When you think about Florida and Florida State in the 90s, when LSU and Texas were kind of down, those teams carried the flag for that the entire decade. So I'm guessing, boy, it's way back there, you know, before Florida State became a thing. And if Texas and, you know, had kind of a down year coming in sometimes in the 70s, maybe the very, very, very late 70s before Bobby Bowden got it going. That would be my guess there. And then also, the new Big 12 with 5 in the AP poll. You got to take out OU if you want to consider the new Big 12. But then you add in those 3 schools at the very bottom.
I saw the conference is already claiming them.
Oh, yeah.
Via a tweet.
And I'm sure the conference
still claiming OU.
I thought,
well, this is awkward.
We tied the SEC with 6. Problem is, one of those is going to be on the other team here pretty quick.
Yeah. No. I didn't see a tweet from the SEC claiming OU.
Not yet. Not yet. They haven't gone through the secret handshake and, you know, how you actually do the chant when your team sucks, like Arkansas.
Do you think they initiate them like in a dark room and they're all in cloaks and there's like a men's choir?
I think depending on which side of the conference you're in, because I'm afraid what happens in the West is that you've got a pig head and a fake soldier that just yell into each of your ears, SEC, since they can't do their own chant to win anything.
Like there's like a secret tattoo they have to get or brand.
Maybe drink part of the milk from the fake soldiers. Who do you think?
Yeah.
Go do some yelling on Friday night.
At midnight.
Text on the text line. Watch out for Tennessee. Listen.
A lot of people like them. I'm one of them.
They're really interesting. I can't wait to see what Josh Heupel does.
They're a next step team in my eyes. They were good last year under first year head coach Heupel. Can they take that next step in year number 2? They got a good shot. He knows how to make an offense hum. We know that.
Yeah, I think they're the candidate to upset somebody. Maybe not be in the chase to play in Atlanta, but be a thorn in somebody's side to keep them from playing in Atlanta, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then in year 3, we'll really see what maybe Tennessee could do, because they have been recruiting at a higher level than they have in a while, with Jordan Matthews taking him out of Louisiana, one of the top safety recruits in the country that committed to Tennessee just the other day. So, yeah, Heupel's got things kind of riding the ship and maybe turning it around from the disaster that was Butch Jones. So there's your AP Top 25. Man, what are we, 11 days? When is that game in Ireland? It's the 27th, right?
27th. That's 11 days.
11 days from
this coming Saturday. Get what you need to get done, because
what time's
we'll
it
have
start?
We'll have 11:30.
Oh, that ain't bad.
We'll have college football every Saturday between now and basically end of the year.
Yeah, that August 4th, that Thursday, 2 weeks ago Thursday, was the last time we won't have a football game until after the Super Bowl.
NFL, yeah.
Of some sort.
I will say this. If I'm going to put in a Tennessee or a Texas in this poll, I would omit Wake Forest.
Yeah, the Sam Hartman thing. We never got to that last week. I didn't want to be too much of a conspiracy theorist, but. Yeah,
but, I mean, long story short, he's not there, but they're still there at 22?
Probably. They might have had to submit these votes before that happened.
True.
We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Now we're back!
We are back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you to Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug down at 809 North Main here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. We've got free local delivery, drive-through pickup, and also curbside testing and vaccinations. We've got something that's called a blister pack. That is your long-term care unit packaging. Visit Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main, or give them a call, 580-225-2121. Have you found the coaches list on ESPN.com?
The coaches list? No.
It is similar to what we've been looking at. It's got 40 of them ranked, but I don't think they're ranked in the order because they're on tiers, right? So the 4 tiers which I think would be what you would call the top 10 coaches in the country. It's called National Contenders. Then you've got Next Up, which to me would be the next 10. Then who does more with less, and then who is off to fast starts in their head coaching careers. Okay, so I don't. It doesn't go like 1 through 40 on this list that way, but the top 10, and to me the next 10, kind of do. So is there any doubt who is number one?
Well, the man we just talked about in our first segment, Nick Saban.
Yeah, Saban. 183-25 in 16 years at Alabama, 7 national titles, 6 at Bama, 1 at LSU. That's right. He's number one. Now, the question is the gap, or has it closed completely? Because it's been, you know, first it was Saban and Urban. Urban's not in the game anymore. Then Dabo Swinney.
Oh, he's got game somewhere.
Yeah, brought Clemson up into, you know, that Alabama rarefied air for a few years. And so I think most people would still put him at number two, you know, a down year at 10-3 last year, you know, if you can call that down. Would you consider Dabo Swinney still number two?
Yeah. Yeah. He gets the nod just ahead of Smart because he has two titles.
Isn't
Smart got his first one, got Georgia their first one in many years last year. Let's see if what happens. If Kirby can continue that level of success, then there will be an argument that he could be number two.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that's closing in, though.
Yeah.
That gap is definitely closing between Kirby Smart and Dabo Swinney.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, said it before, Dabo Swinney, this is a year that another team I think will bounce back, but it's going to be kind of interesting because he has some new, basically a brand new staff. Everyone left for their own jobs, and that's fine. But was it the sum of the whole? You know what I mean? So, and then Kirby's smart. You think last year was pressure that they finally had a team that looked like they could win a title, and they did. Now you got to defend it. Now that's all they're going to expect. I mean, Georgia's kind of turned into the fan base has kind of turned into that Alabama fan base where they're going to expect to win one every year.
Yeah, I think he's okay for a year.
There's a lot of pressure on both coaches.
I think Kirby Smart's fine for a year. He just broke a 4-decade streak of not having a national title. He'll surely at least get the first game under his belt.
But they're
now,
going.
If you lose to Oregon, the honeymoon may be over. The grace period
that's
of, your,
what I'm saying.
Of your title.
That's what I'm saying. If they lose to Oregon, if they lose any game,
you know,
that fan base,
I don't
SEC,
think so.
They're
I don't
crazy.
Think so. Here's why. Georgia's not, though. Georgia's fan base isn't crazy. You know how I know that? They put up with Mark Richt for 15 years.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a term called Georgia-ing.
That's true.
And then it became Clemson-ing. And now they both won titles, and we'll have to move on to somebody else-ing.
No, it's probably Oklahoma.
Yeah. Choklahoma.
Yeah, there's always that.
At the top
that.
Of the list.
Now, it's Venable's going to be the guy that's going to
But know, I do think trend. I do think Kirby's – you look at how he's recruiting. Now, this is an interesting year because – you know, we've become so accustomed to Bama. Just it doesn't matter what they lose in the draft. The next year they're still good. Now to some level of really, really good. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, last year, rebuilding year, and they played for the damn title, and we're marching down the field to win it when the pick six happened by Kelly Ringo for Georgia. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was a rebuilding year. We've come accustomed to Bama being able to do that. Listen, that's not the way it works. It's not. What happened to Clemson last year is the way it works. You go 10-3 and you're outside of the playoff. What happened to Ohio State is the way it works. Breaking in a new quarterback, you had a good year, you won the Rose Bowl, but you're not in the playoff every single year. Like it just, Bama and Saban – I think as far as the expectations and the unrealistic, they're the ones that have created all that because everybody in the SEC is trying to catch them. And so I do think the Georgia fan base is a little bit, and they're still, you know, they're still glad and happy. And so, you know, I think Kirby could easily get away with winning the East, losing, playing in the Sugar Bowl, no big deal. We lost 18 guys to the NFL draft. We'll be back next year with the recruiting. You know what I'm saying? I don't think this isn't Auburn who's going to fire Gene Chizik a year and a half after he won a title. This isn't LSU who's going to fire Ed Orgeron you know, a season and a half after he wins the title. I don't think that's it with Georgia. Just their track record speaks to that too, with as long as Mark Richt was able to hold that job. And listen, he had a nice career. There's no doubt about that. But Kirby Smart is definitely elevated, at least on the national stage, more often than what was able to happen there. Now, here's the question that's going to – you can't ask this question without sounding like bitter Oklahomans, but is Lincoln Riley too high at number four?
Well, the argument for that is that he inherited a great program, already great. He was handed the key – what's the term we've always used? Handed the keys to a Ferrari, and he kept it going. And, I mean, he's a great, great's a hard word to use. He's a really good coach when he has the right tools around him and when he's innovative and you can see that excitement in the play calling, which wasn't there last year. But, this is going to be a true test for him at USC. You know, he's doing the same things that worked for him at OU, going to the transfer portal, getting a lot of plug and play guys, and then let's see, a few years down the road, can he revive USC? Now that's the thing. He didn't have to revive OU.
No, they just won two back-to-back titles. Now,
right?
I will say, I think he gets, he probably
he should get a lot of credit for that.
He doesn't get as much credit as he probably deserves with reviving the offense at Oklahoma.
Yeah, it was
especially
stagnant.
Quarterback play.
It was a stagnant little bit, and Stoops knew. I mean, we talked about Saban being stubborn. Stoops was like, what am I doing? This is what got us here. This is what put us back on the map, was this high-octane air raid offense, and then he kept it going in 08 with the hurry-up. So he saw, okay, I'm going to go get a guy that could do that for us, and that's Lincoln Riley. He saw that guy. So, but yeah, you get Lincoln Riley deserves a lot of credit for reviving the offense that was dangerously getting kind of stagnant.
Yeah,
he got some guys on campus, too.
I think four's too high.
Because I don't want to say it because then everyone's going, well, you're just saying that because you're wearing OU boxers, as Jim
would
say.
Here's why four is too high. With some guys below him. Specifically Ryan Day, who I think the circumstances very similar.
Yeah.
Ryan Day took over for an Urban Meyer who had that thing rolling at Ohio State. And Ryan Day's done more than Lincoln Riley has, i.e. winning a playoff game.
There you go.
But Riley never, in those 5 years at Oklahoma, never had a season with fewer than two losses. He's never recruited a guy that's made All-American under his watch. He's had All-Americans, but he didn't recruit them.
You didn't get them, yeah.
Never won a playoff game. And I don't think anybody can dispute that Oklahoma got a little bit worse each season he was there.
Cracks in the dam are getting bigger.
It's not that he's not a top 10 guy. He's absolutely a top 10 guy. But at number four, you know, you look at what Ryan Day, I mean, he's the one that stands out to me.
That's a good argument.
34-4.
Day should be a couple spots higher.
He's won the Big Ten, which has been a harder conference to win than the Big 12. And he played in the national title game. He won a playoff game, and probably without a horrific call, in the 2019 season, he would have played in two. Now, he'd have got spanked by LSU just like everybody else did. But, you know, I think that's the separator to me between him. And then, you know, how much do you give credit for guys that have actually won a national title with Jimbo Fisher down at seven? And, you know, maybe he's still – the jury's still out on him just a little bit to see if he can do it. You know, at A&M as well, he's trying to turn it around. Looks like he's got it pointing the right direction. But that's where I would, you know, I think Riley and Brian Kelly being above Ryan Day, I think they got that wrong. And then you start talking about where does Jimbo Fisher fit in with those mix of those. I think those are the next four. There's no doubt about it. But what order do you go in with those four?
Yeah, the top two are solid.
It's not egregious. Yeah, the top three are absolutely the top three.
Top three are solid, yeah.
And Riley being four isn't egregious, but I think you can nitpick it enough to where he should be maybe five or six or even seven versus where he is at four. But, it's not way out of line. I think you just – if you have to start going through there, you know, in the case for him, the first 4 years, he won the top, he won the Big 12, and he had him at, you know, had OU in the playoff. But then when you get there, he didn't win.
Him,
he didn't win a game.
I didn't realize the All-American stuff –
Yeah, he's never not one of his recruits as head coach has been an All-American. Now,
right.
That could change here pretty quick. But it looks like if that's going to change, it's not going to change with the guy at Oklahoma. It would be most likely to change with the guy that's right there calling under center for him at USC.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still what would at least break that streak as far as him being a head coach. But I don't know that, you know, we'll have to see who's on, who's still here at OU on the roster that would break that. Then you get down to number 8. And look who's back in the good graces of the national media. Jim Harbaugh. He's an interesting guy to me because I feel like he took too much flack for what he really did at Michigan. You know, his egregious error at Michigan has been he can't beat Ohio State. Guess what? Neither can anybody else.
That's true.
You know, you look at what he really did at Michigan. He turned him around. He had him playing in New Year's Six bowls. He just couldn't win the conference and get over that Ohio State hump. And, you know, he was down in the 20s in some of these lists going into last year. Well, guess what? He's number 8. I think that's about right for him. I really do. Because who are you going to put above him that's below him is my question.
Yeah, when I scroll down and look, that makes sense. But he gets the bigger knock for not being Ohio State because he is the coach at
absolutely.
The University of Michigan.
It goes with the territory.
I mean, it's an OU Texas thing, you know.
It is.
If you can beat everybody but Texas, then your job's on the line.
But even if you don't want him at 8, he can't be in the 20s. He's better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was better than that even before last year.
He's better than the two beneath him in as far as rounding up the top 10.
Yeah, Franklin and Luke Fickell are 9 and 10. But I think Harbaugh is properly rated. Right there, he's a top 10 coach, but not in the top half of it. Now you get to Franklin and Luke Fickell, and the next two guys on the list below him are two guys that if I ask you who should be in the top 10 that's not, I think the two guys below him, below the top 10, are the first two names that come across everybody's mind.
Absolutely.
Because
I was ready to scream it.
Because of what they've done from a longevity standpoint and a success in that school. So, in my mind, I would flip those both out and flip the other two in. So, instead of James Franklin at 9, I would have Kyle Whittingham of Utah. Instead of Luke Fickell at 10, I would have Mike Gundy at OSU.
Absolutely. I was about to scream when I was scrolling down to this top 10, the first 10. I'm like, where's Gundy? Where's Gundy? And a lot of weight, it's obvious. A lot of it is weight on national titles and college football playoff appearances. I mean, that's
conference titles,
and that's what vaulted. We just talked about Harbaugh up there. He kind of broke through, got into the playoff, et cetera. But can't overlook what Mike Gundy has done in his, what now, 17 years there. We said it a couple days ago. He is the most successful coach at that university. And I don't see that going away anytime soon. He's going to be there for as long as he wants. So he is a top 10 coach in the nation.
Here's the write-up about Gundy. His success at a program without the most natural advantages in the Big 12 occasionally goes overlooked. I would change that word occasionally and just say goes overlooked.
Yeah.
This is the quote from a Big 12 coach. He's so undervalued. 16 consecutive winning season at Oklahoma State? Really? That dude's done an unbelievable job. He's lost coordinators. Doesn't matter. He figures it out. Gundy hadn't had a losing season since his debut in 2005, and 7 seasons of 10 or more wins since 2010, 9 AP top 20 finishes since 2008. Knock on him is the same knock that Jim Harbaugh has a lot of it, too. He doesn't win enough conference titles. Well, only one school was winning conference titles until last year, and that was Oklahoma. So he runs one of the nation's most consistent programs. There's no doubt about that. Oklahoma State, since Gundy has been there, I think you could make the argument and make it pretty successfully that over the whole 17 years, they've been the second-best program in the Big 12 behind OU. Now, there's been times where Texas was better in the early part of that. There's been times where Baylor was better in kind of the middle. But throughout the entirety of his run at Oklahoma State, I don't think there's any doubt that OSU has been the second-best program in the Big 12. And that is a statement that if you made it in 2005 when he was getting started, people would have locked you in a padded room just like this, but taken out the window so nobody could see you because you'd have been so crazy to say something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying there. And, again, I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. You think you get closer to that when you see coaches get closer to that 20-year mark, that question of, well, how much left does he have in him? He's only 55. I mean, shoot, Saban's 70. I could see another 15 years out of Mike Gundy because he's not going to go anywhere. He's an OSU Stillwater guy. So, and those, I think the conference titles will come.
Yeah, I mean, he's in great position to add to that number, not only this year, but especially when Oklahoma and Texas depart for the SEC, the other schools come in. There is no doubt in my mind that OSU is the top program in what the league is right now. Mm-hmm. If Oregon or Washington or somebody else comes in, then maybe we can have an argument about that. But as of right now, with who's going to be in that league, it's Oklahoma State at the top, and it should be. Oklahoma State at the top a majority of the years. You know, every once every 3 years, they need to be winning the conference, if not at a better clip than that even, because of the success that they've enjoyed and Mike Gundy has built. Last question on the coaches. There's also a list of overachievers, I'm sorry, and then the fast risers, the guys that have started well. Out of those two lists, who do you think has the best chance? I put three guys down because I couldn't decide, but out of the rest, those other 20, who are the guys that you were kind of tabbing to maybe move up into that top 10, even with a good year this year?
The overall top 10?
Yes. Is there one, or who's kind of on that path, even maybe eventually?
Well, I'll stay in conference. Matt Campbell's kind of an obvious answer. He loses a lot this year. Let's see how good of a coach he is. If he can get them into – you know, the Big 12 title discussion in November, then, yeah, I'm convinced he's a good coach. I've always been kind of leaning on he's had – and it takes a good coach to get these guys to Ames, guys like Purdy and Breece Hall, and the list, you know, goes on and on. But now they're gone. All of them are gone. So I want to see if he can do that, and then I'll be convinced that, yeah, he's probably a really, really good coach, and other schools might notice that too. Same thing can be said about Dave Aranda. I mean, coming in and winning a conference title in how many years has he been there? How many years has he been at Baylor?
That was his second.
Two years. And they've locked him in, it looks like, for the foreseeable future. So can he continue what he did last year moving forward? Those are two guys I think that are like up-and-comers that can climb their way up to the top.
Yeah, Matt Campbell is I didn't have him, and it's probably an oversight because I didn't see his name. When's the last time you think Iowa State won a conference title?
Oh, my goodness.
1912.
Yeah, I was going to say it was the
– He's had him in five consecutive bowl games, which has never happened. He won the Fiesta Bowl – or played in the Fiesta Bowl in number 9 AP finish in 2020. Obviously the first ever Big 12 title game, Big 12 Coach of the Year three times. He's the first Iowa State coach in school history to beat every team in his conference, both home and away. So he's incredible. There's no doubt about that. And I think that, I mean, it's Iowa State. That's at what point in Iowa State's history would 7-5 be considered a real disappointment, like last year was? Iowa State 7-5, you get a parade.
Yeah.
Not people mad at you. So that just shows what he's done there. I've also got Mark Stoops on that list for a lot of the same reasons. He's had Kentucky with two 10-win seasons in the last five and two AP top 20 finishes in the last five. And they're a team that I think could surprise. Also, Dave Aranda I have on the list at Baylor. An incredible start to his career, especially last year after struggling that first year. He just like what Matt Rhule did, you know, with the coming off the probation and then turning it around. Dave Aranda's done exactly the same path, but except for he stayed instead of going to the NFL. First ever top five finish last year at Baylor in the AP. Dave Aranda has his guys ready to go again. And then one final name that I have on my list is Mario Cristobal. We've talked about the advantages that we think Miami will enjoy because of the NIL. And so he's a guy that he could kind of do the meteoric rise, in my mind, from a pretty good coach to holy crap, look what he's got started and look what he's got going at Miami. So those would be kind of the guys that you could look a year from now and go, maybe they are in the top 10 with the seasons that it looks like they're poised to have. All right, when we come back, who are the top five programs in the country that have the best shot at making their first playoff appearance this season? Who do you guys think it is? 225-9698. Give us a text, give us a call. Skinny on Sports on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Coming back next.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports. Wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Convenience packaging. We've talked about this a whole bunch since they came aboard. No more, no longer do you need that big, we all seen it. It's a big, giant plastic container. It's got days of the week on it. You got to fill those up with your pills. Make sure you get the right pills, the right amount of pills in the right day, and then remember to take it and don't lose it and all that kind of stuff. That goes away with convenience packaging. They will individually package your daily meds, so you just keep them in the pantry or the, I guess that's not really it, the drug, what do you call that? I just completely lost my train of thought. Cabinet, in your drug cabinet or whatever.
Yeah, your cupboard. Yeah.
Your cupboard. Just pull it off, open them up, take the pills, and it's all there. They do it for you. They've got some durable medical equipment, which consists of walkers and canes and crutches and the like. They accept most insurances, but it's not just a drugstore. Also got some awesome gifts, greeting cards down there. Visit Rodney and Paul Jones Drug. 809 North Main, right here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust.
That's not convenient just for you, but for your loved ones too, who are, think about it. When our folks get older, we got to go take care of them, and that's what we want to do. But, man, we're the ones filling it up, right? I mean, that's convenient for everybody.
That's right.
Not just the pill taker. Not just the one taking the
meds.
No,
it's already there.
Yeah, it's there. So, very convenient.
Today is the
16th.
On this day in 1996, you know what movie was released? Sports related.
Oh, man. This day in 1996.
One of the most unrealistic, worst endings to what was a really great movie until the very end. It's a sports movie.
I don't know.
It would never happen in real life.
We have 8 minutes left. I don't know.
Ten Cup. In 1996. He hit it down the road. Still going. There's a lot of quotable parts in that movie. Anyway, that just popped up. Okay, top five most likely teams in college football to make their first playoff appearance this season. This is a different question than what program. You know what I'm saying?
So I got to give you five teams?
Five teams in order from least likely to most likely. So we'll start at number five.
Okay.
For me, number five this season is Kentucky. I talked about them throughout the offseason. Will Levis, the quarterback. We just mentioned what Mark Stoops has done while he's been at Kentucky. They get Georgia at home. I don't know that it's likely, but if I'm going to make us do five teams, I would put Kentucky at number five as the fifth most likely team to be able to make their first playoff appearance.
To break through
this season. This season and this season only.
Okay, I'll stay in the same conference. No, I won't, because it just occurred to me what their schedule looks like. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the U.
Ah, the U.
And I'll lean on because of a weak ACC, and it looks like that program is being rejuvenated. It's a risk to say it with a first-year head coach, but I'll say Miami.
I had the U at number four. For all the reasons that we've talked about ad nauseum about Miami and the NIL and what it appears to be a huge advantage that they can take down the line with recruiting. And we've seen this a bunch. I think it starts all the way back with Bob Stoops. And, you know, conventional wisdom back then was, oh, it takes 3 or 4 years to get something turned around. He did it in two the very next year. Jim Tressel did it at two, in two at Ohio State. And it feels like those timelines have shrunk as we moved along. Nick Saban, you know, it didn't take him long. I think his third year, Alabama won the title. And in year number two, he was playing Tebow in the SEC title game as an undefeated number one team. So I think it's not out of the realm of possibility there with the U.
Okay. That was my number four. Now, my number four is, and this is going to be a reoccurring theme in my list as far as schedule and conference is concerned, but I'll put USC right there at number four because of the Pac-12. Outside of maybe two challengers, USC, if they navigate that, Riley has obviously brought in guys through the portal to patch together something of a team. We'll see what that offensive line can do for them. But, I got them at number four.
I thought about them, but from 4-8 to the playoff is just too far for me to go above any of these other teams. At number three, we just talked about his team. I've got Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State. The reason I have them at three and not two is because of the schedule. At OU, at Baylor, at K-State, Texas at home. So I've got Oklahoma State at number three.
I'm right there with you. I put Oklahoma State number three. If they can, again, navigate that schedule, those are tough games on the road. But every time we underestimate OSU, they surprise you. I'm kind of trying to be even keel on them this year because I don't want to overestimate them. I don't want to underestimate them because we know what that gets us. So I think three is a perfect spot for him in this list.
And I have Baylor number two because of the schedule the other way.
Go ahead and answer my question. Yeah. Go ahead and answer it for me.
Yeah, they've got I know we're going to have the same number one team. I wasn't sure about the rest. But the schedule, they get OSU and K-State at home. They have to go to OU and to Texas. But that was literally the tiebreaker for me in my mind was where is that game with OSU?
Mm-hmm.
And because this is a Baylor, I had Baylor number two. Same. All right.
I like Aranda.
You can do number one. You can say it first. Because I know we have the same team.
Utah?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, schedule for Utah is very favorable. This has kind of been another theme of mine is the next step. Last year they got to that Rose Bowl, showed out really well in it against Ohio State. They got Cam Rising back. They got an experienced coach. They're in a favorable conference with a favorable schedule. Yeah, I don't pull back the curtain too much, but I like them a lot in the Pac-12. Now, how good they do throughout the season, because some teams in the Pac-12, we see it every year. They'll hiccup a couple times, and they could still win that conference. But Utah looks like the most sure thing out of the Pac-12 for me. So I'm going to stick with them and make them the number one team that could possibly break through.
Yeah, I've got Utah as well. Key moment right at the start of the season, that very first Saturday down in the swamp against Florida. It's a huge game for the Utes. We've seen it with Oregon in the past. Pac-12 teams playing these key, big, non-conference opponents early. You lose the game, and everybody completely forgets about the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
They also get USC in Salt Lake on the 15th of October. They have to go to Oregon. But here's where I think that's okay, is because even if you drop the game in Eugene in the middle of November, you're going to have a chance to avenge that loss. And maybe, are they still playing? Do they have a site yet? Or no, they're playing in Las Vegas now, aren't they? For the Pac-12 title game. Because they would go, you'd get to go right back to Eugene and try it again. Where that, you know what I'm saying? They could eliminate that loss in the eyes of the playoff committee. If you lose the regular season one and win the Pac-12.
San Francisco?
Yeah, they may play at Levi.
They went to Levi Stadium for a couple of years, but I think they have moved it to Vegas.
Yeah, so that would be a chance for them to be able to eliminate that loss on their, you know what I'm saying? Drop it to Oregon, but then turn around and beat Oregon in the Pac-12 title game. That could be enough to boost them into the playoffs.
So, right.
I think that their schedule is favorable outside of that. Man, you win in the swamp, look out.
Vegas, yeah. Just looked it up.
Okay, I was thinking it was in Vegas now. But you win the game in the swamp, and you're on top of the world. You're on top of mind everywhere. And quite frankly, there doesn't seem to be a huge stumbling block between then and that SC game. And so I could easily see Utah 6-0 with USC coming to town. You hope that SC has the season, or at least started out the season, the way that a lot of people think they were. When you look at their schedule, you know, at Stanford feels like the only stumbling block. Fresno State was pretty good last year, didn't lose a ton. You know, maybe that's a – but that one's in the Coliseum. At Stanford week two, USC wins that one. And, boy, it sure looks like a collision course with game day written all over, at least big noon kickoff written all over it there on October – or, yeah, October the 15th at Salt Lake City. So, teams that aren't there, and I think programs more than seasons, A&M, I couldn't do it because their schedule.
Yeah, I leaned a lot on the schedule.
Playing in the West.
Yeah.
And maybe at this time next year.
Yeah, break through. Beat some of these teams. Yeah. Contend for a SEC title or the West,
mm-hmm.
you know, division.
And they, you know,
I'd be more willing to put you on this list.
The last 2 years, you know, they were one game away from playing for the SEC title in the COVID year of 2020. They did get the breakthrough win against Alabama a year ago, but still went 8-4. You know, have you a 10-2? And then that recruiting class that's a year older that they just signed.
Yeah.
Then you're probably number one on this list, depending on what USC looks like.
Right.
Just because of the conference. You know, Texas is another one that program-wise you would think, yeah. Team-wise, we'll see. Wisconsin's another one that, you know, that's just Big Ten versus – it's hard for me to pick a Big Ten team when I can pick these Big 12s or ACCs or Pac-12s, right? Because the
path is easier.
The path is so much easier.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Very good.
Day one of college football preview. Day two tomorrow. Oh, here you go. Left Elk City was 84. Now at Arnett, 78. The cool weather is coming.
Oh, wow. We might not get 100.
We might not get a hundo.
Knock on wood.
Hurry up front. Everybody have a great Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.